Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I am Eric Garthy, and we are in class with Ruth, Lessons on Lasting Relationships. In this session, we'll be looking at Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 to 18, Love in the Air. We may have difficulty defining love at times, but we recognize it when we see it. Love is possible if you realize one simple truth. Love is an act of the will, not the emotion. Our text for this session illuminates that truth. Ruth chapter 3 is a picture of human love. While we can feel love, true love is about actions or acts of the will. And within this love story of Boaz and Ruth, we can also see a parable of divine love. What do we see in Ruth chapter 3? Well, first, a portrait of human love. There are three scenes in this love story. In scene one, it's a matchmaking mother. Naomi understood what Ruth could not know, the kinsman's obligation to marry the widow of a close relative. And she also learned of Boaz's interest in Ruth. So Naomi took action on behalf of her daughter-in-law. Notice her concern for Ruth in verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" Naomi knew it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And notice her counsel to Ruth in verse 2. "Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is not our relative." He is not our relative. In fact, he is winnowing barley. Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garments, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." Naomi offered two pieces of advice to Ruth. She told her to fix herself up. Ruth had to remove the mourning clothes, indicating that she was ready to move on with her life. You can't have a new start if you continue to live in the past. And she also told her to make herself known. Boaz needed to know of her interest in his attention. And third, notice Ruth's compliance to Naomi. Verse 5. "And she said to her, 'All that you say to me, I will do.'" What a unique and trusting relationship that existed between those two women. That's scene one. And on to scene two. A midnight meeting. Ruth made the rendezvous at the grain pile. Isn't that romantic? There are a few things about that meeting to observe. First of all, it was an unusual practice, verses 6 and 7. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. After Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now, there was nothing immoral or indecent about this custom. It was simply the woman's way of letting him know that she was interested in marriage. Nothing's changed. Men still need a little push at times. Second, it was an unusual proposal. Verses 8 and 9. "Now it happened at midnight that the woman was startled and that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." This is strange because we live in a time when men tend to do the proposing. Boaz awoke to find a woman lying at his feet. Ruth's proposal was twofold. Take your maidservant under your wing was like saying, "Take me, I'm yours. For you are a close relative," said much more. Close relative is from a Hebrew word which means kinsman redeemer. In Mosaic law, a kinsman had to marry her to preserve Elimelech's line. But how is it unusual? Well, for starters, a woman proposed to a man. A young person proposed to an older one. A field laborer proposed to a field owner. A foreigner proposed to a citizen. It was also an unusual promise. Verse 10 and 11. Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." After praising her for not chasing younger guys, Boaz told Ruth not to worry, that he would redeem her from widowhood regardless of the cost. He revealed his love by saying that she was worth it. And it was also an unusual problem. Verse 12. "Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative to you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." Legally, another man was ahead of Boaz in line. He loved Ruth so much that he wanted her cared for, even if it meant losing her. And he made a vow before the Lord. You got to kind of read between the lines, and you probably can see that Boaz had already checked in to the situation and knew what had to be done. So this wasn't completely cold on Boaz's part. He wanted this, and he saw what was happening, and so he checked things out, and so he knew what was happening. And that's scene two. Scene three, a man on a mission. Look at verse 14, down to verse 18. "So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, 'Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor.' Also he said, 'Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it.' And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. So when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, 'Is that you, my daughter?' Then she told her all that the man had done for her, and she said, 'These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, "Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law." And then he said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Boaz confirmed his love and intentions in two ways. He protected Ruth's reputation. At harvest time, prostitutes were known to go to the threshing floor and proposition the laborers. Boaz did everything he could to avoid even a hint of impropriety by Ruth or himself. And then second, he paid a dowry to Naomi. The grain was like a down payment that guarantees his intentions. Ruth probably didn't understand it, but Naomi knew its significance. When she saw the grain, she knew of Boaz's marriage plan. And then the second part of this scene, the pillars of true love. Woven into the portrait of love are the pillars of genuine love that are highlighted by four relationships in the story. First, Naomi's love for Ruth demonstrated concern. She had Ruth's best interest at heart. My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Second, Ruth's love for Naomi demonstrated trust. Even when Ruth did not fully understand Naomi, she trusted her. Trust is built on honesty. Trust is a form of security. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. And then Ruth's love for Boaz demonstrated risk. In going to the threshing floor to show her love, she took two big risks. The risk of reputation, her actions could have been perceived as an indecent proposal. And the risk of rejection. If Naomi misread the intentions of Boaz, it would be embarrassing and humiliating. And then Boaz's love for Ruth demonstrated commitment. A person who won't commit to a relationship for rich or for poor, in sickness and in health, doesn't really love. My daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. And then third, the parable of divine love. Why do you suppose this chapter uses the language of redemption? If we look a little closer, we see that Ruth, as a young widow, was sentenced to poverty and hardship and let someone redeem her from that situation. Each major character in this love story represents a player in God's plan of salvation. Naomi is the loving parent representing God. She desired her child's redemption and made a plan to accomplish it. Redemption is only possible because of her relationship to the Redeemer. Naomi influenced Ruth's heart to act and claim salvation. Ruth represents the lost sinner. She could do nothing to save herself, but she responded to Boaz's grace. Ruth turned from her past, taking off the mourning garments that pointed to it. She asked Boaz to redeem her and received both the promise of salvation, and a pledge to secure it. And then Boaz represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He was worthy to redeem her as a kinsman redeemer. Boaz was willing to save Ruth and was waiting to do so. God's love story has never changed. Let me ask you, have you personally experienced it? Because we're all sinners, we all come the same way. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we all deserve punishment for our sins. We've earned God's punishment because of our sins. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's not just a physical death. That's an eternal death of punishment in hell for our sin. But, it says, the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. God loved us. It tells us that. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the free gift of God, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, you don't have to go to hell, but you can have eternal life. God loved us. And he demonstrated that love by giving Jesus and sending him to the cross. Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus went to the cross in our place to pay the penalty that we could never pay because of our sin. Jesus, sinless, was a perfect sacrifice. He could pay the redemption price of his blood. And we need to, as we believe in Jesus, we need to put our trust in Jesus. We need to, with conviction, believe he died for us and he rose from the dead. Romans 10:9-10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And all we need to do with that conviction, with that belief, is to reach out and ask God to save us, trusting in him. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know Jesus? Have you personally experienced the changed life, the saved life, the life with the hope of eternal life because of Jesus? Have you done that? You give that some thought, and you have a great day.